This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Now you're on.
You Get As You Give by Ernest Holmes. We are all on the receiving line, wishing to get the most out of life. We wouldn't be normal if we didn't wish to enjoy living, for life is made to live. How could there be a song unless someone sings it? But sometimes we fail to realize that there is an exact law of life which tells us that in the long run, we shall only receive what we give. Suppose a person had a lot of love in his heart, but refused to express it to those around him. He would soon become so bottled up with the emotion that he actually would have a psych love in his heart, but refused to express it to those around him. Suppose a person were filled with joy and had no way to express it. His very joy might be a burden to him. A person filled with joy must lavish on back. Suppose a person were filled with joy and had no way to express it. His very joy might be a burden to him. A person filled with joy must lavish it on others. He must share it with them. And in this way, he multiplies his own happiness. You see, life has placed at the center of every person's being an urge to live, to love, to create, and to find fulfillment in joy and happiness and in communion with others. Life is like a great force flowing through us, coming from a hidden source. It is the nature of a bird to soar and sing. It is the nature of a seed to burst with the gladness of its existence. And so it is with all the gifts of life that we possess. They too are here to be used. But too often we wait for some great day to arrive, or some big event to transpire, that we may become heroic figures in the drama of life. And just as surely as we do this, we shall delay the day of our receiving because we have refused to give out the gifts that we already possess. If we have but one talent, we should use it, for in so doing we shall uncover other talents. And there is a talent we all possess. That is the ability to be kind, to have an understanding heart and mind, to be tolerant and well-disposed toward others. In using this talent, we need not wait for any great event, for all around us there are those who are famished for the lack of just a little bit of human affection, just a morsel of kindness, just a bit of understanding, something that will make them feel that they too belong to life. People respond to our sincere and friendly approach and meet us halfway, giving back to us what we have first given to them. Try this out someday when you are walking down the street and see what happens. Just look into the eyes of the first dozen persons you meet and, catching their eyes, scowl at them. I venture to say that the majority of them will scowl right back at you. And the next dozen persons you meet, smile at them. And I will be willing to bet that the majority of them will smile back at you again. You see, life really is a looking glass, reflecting back to each one of us an exact likeness of his own image. And we are all mirrors, reflecting back to others the attitudes that they reflect to us. But just as life is a mirror in human relationships, so it also is a mirror reflecting the mind of God back to us when we open up our consciousness in love and in adoration to the divine presence which surrounds everything and flows through everything and through all people. This is the purpose of prayer and meditation, that we become so filled with the infinite wholeness that it reflects in everything we do. but it is necessary that we give it out to others. In this way, our own channels are kept clear, permitting the life that is greater than we are to flow through our minds into everything we touch, into what we do and say. The passageway must be kept open at both ends, neither dammed up where we receive life, nor blocked where it should be given out. Giving and receiving, this is the law of life. This is the way of life. This is the way that life is. He would receive all must give all, and he who gives all will receive all. Every act of human affection and love, every act of generous giving and receiving, of kindly relations with others, is an extension of the spirit of life flowing through us, life the great giver, and each one of us as a distributor. This was the first great teaching of Jesus, that we should recognize this divine presence in everything and in everyone and in ourselves. The next great truth Jesus proclaimed was that there is a law of cause and effect which attracts to us those things that we hold in our consciousness. We shall experience that which we have faith in. We shall become like the things we think about. These are the two most important things in the teaching of Jesus, love and the law. He taught them in every parable. He explained them over and over to his disciples. He proclaimed them in the Sermon on the Mount. He made it clear that life gives all, that we are supposed to receive this gift of heaven. But we cannot receive it for ourselves alone. The gifts of life can be multiplied only in the way that we use them. And so as we give, shall we receive. As we believe, so shall it be done unto us. As we think and expect, so shall we experience. You see, the life and teaching of Jesus is an example of one who, having received all, gave everything away as fast as he got it. He used it, loosed it, and let it go. And because he did this, the loaves and the fishes multiplied. Because he loved, the world has learned to love him. Because he found God, countless millions have received comfort and hope and assurance. Jesus discovered his oneness with God, and in so doing, discovered that all people are one with God. The things that I do shall ye do also. And he discovered the great power that always accompanies faith and conviction. It was his mission to prove to the world that there is a power of good available to everyone. And it was equally a part of this great mission to show that because we belong to God and are some part of life, we also belong to each other. In telling us that we should give, Jesus never implied that we should not receive. Rather, his inference was quite contrary to this, for his whole teaching was that we can give only as we first have received, but that it is only as we keep on giving that we shall keep on receiving. Jesus did not teach that our giving should impoverish, but rather that it should enrich. He said we ought to enter into the joy of life. He said that we should be whole, physically and mentally, because we are first whole spiritually. And when he said that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, he did not say that we should hate ourselves just because we do love our neighbors. Rather, he meant exactly what he said. We should consider our neighbor equal to ourselves. As we give to him, we also should receive from him. Let us then accept these few simple facts, simple but as profound as life itself. For they contain the whole meaning of the teaching of the greatest, the wisest, and the most illumined man who ever lived. We have separated his teaching from the life we are living. We have thought he was talking about a future state, when salvation would come because of our having suffered in this world. But this is far, very far indeed from the truth. Jesus knew that God is everywhere. He knew there is a perfection at the center of everything. He knew there is a spiritual law of good available here on earth. Today, the world is as good to us as we make it, or as evil as we make it. Today, we may make love the motivating power of our life. Today, we may enter into joy and happiness. He told us that when we commune with God, we shall receive inspiration from on high. And then he gave us step by step the way to do this. It is simple enough. So simple that we have overlooked it. Believe that ye have, and ye shall receive. Give, and to you shall be given. Love, and you will be loved. Daily, then, we should practice the divine presence. This is done by the simple fact of affirming that the divine presence is here in us now. All that God has, all that God is, all that life ever can be is here and now, today. And this is what we should affirm. And because this is true, we should affirm that the law of good goes before us and prepares the way, and we should expect good to happen. Knowing that there can be no good to us alone, we should give and give and give, not till it hurts, but till through the very act of giving and living, all the hurt is taken out of life. We should give of faith until fear disappears. We should give of hope and confidence and expectation and acceptance until failure forever departs from us. And seeing God in all people and in all things, we should so court this divine presence that to us it becomes the one solid and changeless reality, a rock in a weary land, and a shelter in the time of storm. And so let us say today, I am receiving the gifts of heaven. Today I know that even as I ask, I shall receive. I expect to be guided. I expect to meet good everywhere. I expect love to go from me and friendship to return back to me. And even as I expect to receive, so I do desire to give. It is my sincere desire that everyone I meet shall be blessed, that everything I touch shall be made whole. It is my desire that joy shall flow from me and peace and happiness, bringing a sense of well-being and comfort to those around me, lifting up my thought to the secret place of the Most High. I feel that I do receive a benediction from heaven, and with it the gifts of life, which I freely give out. And I know that as I gladly give of myself to others, so shall something from them come back to me, to go out again, blessing and healing. And now may the presence of the great and the divine giver become real to all of us, and may the gifts of heaven be received by all of us, and may the good that we possess be shared with all the others. That came out. We'll just turn that off a minute. I don't know. These corrections are for the last talk. The first one is, he who would receive all, and the second, so simple we have overlooked it.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.